Congressman, I know you and your staff have read every page of the president's budget.
Well, I don't know about my staff. They're pretty crack at doing it, but no, I have not read every page yet.
Well, in looking at that, as you know, there are serious budget issues here in Lansing and Ingham County for the state of Michigan and also for the federal government, and it looks like this budget doesn't address that budget deficit. What's your take on what you've seen so far?
What I've seen so far is just absolutely backwards from the talk that's been out there from the administration about reducing the spending, reducing the deficit, drawing our budget in line again. What I see here is still a record-breaking $1.6 trillion deficit for fiscal year 2012. That does not bode well for the union, as well as for individual states and local communities, because the impact of continuing deficit spending negatively impacts the economy, and that certainly doesn't hurt Michigan or the 7th District, or help Michigan or the 7th District.
Well, looking at some of the parts of the budget, it looks like it will hurt students in the state of Michigan. It will hurt automakers and suppliers in the state. When it comes to public school teachers, especially in the subjects in science and math, it will hurt. Securing Michigan's waterways, that's going to lose money. I don't see anything good in this budget regarding Michigan. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't either. But the biggest priority is the level of spending that goes on all areas of the budget. But then the whacks that you take at certain things that seem to be some core priorities. I was talking with several individuals from Michigan yesterday who disembarked from the plane the same time I did that deal with utilities, and specifically the LIHEAP program that keeps the heat on for some very financially challenged individuals. It's a program that allows the utilities to still provide, especially when we think of Michigan, for these cold winter months, at least heat in the house. The president, surprisingly, last week came out cutting LIHEAP program, and I guess his priorities are different than the rest of us.
Well, what's going to happen if this budget, in your estimate, really doesn't help the budget deficit, and if we're going to need more cuts and tighten the belts a bit more, what's that mean for Michigan? How are you going to help Michigan with less money?
Well, I think what we need to do is make sure that Michigan is capable of helping itself. I'm pleased with what I'm hearing from Governor Snyder, the willingness to make the tough priority decisions. I'm looking forward to hearing his budget as it's addressed. States are going to have to assume they're going to make it or not make it without the federal government. There's going to be some battles going on at the federal level that will continue. Today, as you know, Tony, we start talking about the CR and the Republicans' proposed billion dollars of budget cuts across the board, and trying to establish a pattern that will then lead us into the budget process for the next real budget, which the president has put forward, and now we can start working on it. It will change significantly. Whether we come to an impasse or not, I think, is up to the president at this point in time. But Governor Snyder doesn't have that issue before him, and the legislature. They can look at the state of the state. They can look at what they expect from the government now, which is, you know, still fuzzy. But nonetheless, they can assume that it's not going to be forthcoming an easy plan for them. So what do we do as a state of Michigan to handle it ourselves? And I was talking with Dick Posthumus yesterday, the governor's senior advisor, and I'm encouraged that our new governor and the legislature are looking at doing things that we did back in the early 90s that were challenging, that were considered very, very tough, but ultimately resulted in a major turnaround for the state and economic growth and jobs as well.
So is what you're saying, much like the city is going to have to depend on themselves and the county and the state handle their own business. We can't look for much help from the federal government. The state is going to have to take care of itself.
You know, I think that's the case, Tony, and I know you've talked with people on your program before as well as me, that with all of the mandates that come from the federal government, so often the funding doesn't follow, at least consistently, and sometimes really never. So you have the mandates and the burden, but then the outcome is hampered as a result of not having the funding. My efforts, and I think a good number of my colleagues now, if not a majority even, are going to be pushing to leave more money in the states for them to determine the best use and how to deal with it themselves. I think giving the opportunity for states to do that, and I guess more importantly, for taxpayers at the local and state level to make decisions that have far more impact on themselves than what they hear and consider from Washington, will be a better way to go. And I think that will be the real crux of our battle the next few days, weeks, and months here in Washington, going back to the Constitution, going back to the 10th Amendment, going back to our understanding of what states' powers are and how the federal government has really stepped up to plates that were never supposed to be our plates.
Well, according to some stories that I've seen, this budget, which is $3.7 trillion, helps education except for college student, but really helps early childhood education, transportation, alternative energy. The losers are the Defense Department, wealthy taxpayers who will have to pay more, and federal deficits. What would you propose that $3.7 trillion budget be?
I think you'll see, it has to be a cut. It literally has to be a cut. The people are asking for it. When you see other states like like New Jersey with Governor Christie, whose approval rating is going up exponentially, even though he's instituting massive cuts to draw that state back in line. And you see the people saying it's about time. And frankly, when I had five town hall type meetings this weekend before coming back here, and the people aren't talking about necessarily the pain that they're going to feel supposedly from the cuts if we do it here in Washington and at the state level to get ourselves back in right financial status. They're talking about the opportunity in the future, the positive nature that we will have more chance to control our own destiny, our own resources, as opposed to letting it be kind of grafted off and each hand greased in Washington and other places that that take the tax dollars and then ultimately send just a fraction of it back to do the job. And I think that you'll see today beginning, Tony, on the floor of the House here as we debate the continuing resolution, just to put a spending plan in place or a budget in place for now till September. I think it'll show some of the priorities. And we're cutting a budget, but then setting some priorities for spending. Transportation, for instance, will receive a 23% cut, and HUD going there. And again, prioritizing what's core. Is it making sure that our roads are repaired, or is it developing the bureaucracy? Is it developing bike paths? Is it developing turtle fences? Those type of things. And I think you'll see that we're going toward the core side as opposed to the frivolous side. Commerce and justice, science. We'll all take an 18% cut. Agriculture, 22%. Financial services, 16% cut. Energy and water, 11%. But then when you get to other issues related to military construction and the Pentagon, we're looking at a 2% cut there as well, which indicates what we've said all along. We're going to make sure we keep the troops and the veterans serviced. But the Pentagon and some of those projects that we're looking at that may not be necessary at this point in time are going to have a fine-tooth comb put to them. Legislative branch, 13% cut. Homeland Security, 3% cut. And so those are some of the areas that we'll be looking at. And $100 billion of cut is the largest overall cut in the history of the United States from one budget year to the next. But when I tell that to the people back in the district this weekend, they said $100 billion with a $14 trillion debt right now doesn't sound like too much, so let's get it done.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Congressman Tim Walberg. We've got two more questions for the Congressman. First of all, I've got 11 emails here, Congressman, that said to ask you what can be done in the short term by you to help Michigan get more jobs.
Well, the short term, that's a tough question. We've put ourselves into a difficult circumstance by growing government and putting more cost on the taxpayer as well as regulation on the job provider. So I think the biggest thing we can do is start to give some certainty to the market, to the financial institutions, to the business developers, that government in general is starting to go the right way and starting to draw in its spending habits. I think that will be seen this week. We've been holding hearings on regulations. I will hold my first hearing as chairman of the subcommittee on workplace safety, workplace protection, dealing with OSHA today, looking at regulations that may sound fine at the appropriate time, but in a time of economic upheaval and loss of jobs to indicate that we need higher noise standards without any evidence being shown that what is being done right now won't impact our workers with safety well enough, is a cost producer that cuts jobs. So I think, Tony, from the federal level, an indication to the states and to the job providers, the entrepreneurs, the financial institutions, that we are indeed drawing our financial house in order and looking significantly at reducing unnecessary regulatory costs that only impinges upon jobs and doesn't provide the safety in a quotient that is necessary right now, will start to give an impression, at the very least, take some chance.
Congressman, thanks so much for making the time to chat with us. Kent allows us many opportunities to chat with you. We appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
You too, and thanks so much.